It's time for Idaho's Money Show with Brian Wiley and Jason Oswald on News Radio 99.1 FM and IdahoNewsRadio.com. Listen, learn, interact. Brian Wiley is a wealth advisor with Cascade Financial Management. Cascade Financial Management is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Cascade Financial Management as a firm does not make a market in or research on or make a market of any of the issues mentioned in the broadcast. Brian does not hold himself out as providing any financial, legal, or other advice. Information presented may not be suitable for you. Consult a registered investment advisor when evaluating any particular investment, security, or investment strategy. Jason Oswald is a certified mortgage planner with Legacy Lending Group. License number MLO8372. Cascade Financial Management and Legacy Lending Group are unaffiliated firms. Call the show now at 465-0730. That's 465-0730. Idaho's Money Show with Brian Wiley and Jason Oswald starts now.
Every Wednesday, we take care of business here on Idaho's Money Show, and I really consider it to be somewhat of a format change because I don't talk just about finances, and I'm not talking about investments and markets and things like that, although those topics will still sometimes trickle in this hour. What I want to talk about are businesses. You know, I mentioned it earlier about taking risk and understanding the rewards that you're out there. And why do we now despise these rewards and these people that have taken these risks, the ones that have looked at it and say, you know what, I'm going to go do that. Now, it's not for everybody, and it's not for the faint of heart. Now, we get those stories here on the program every Wednesday, 1 to 2 p.m., and I want to remind you, if you've heard this program or if you've never heard it, let me just say this. Never once has a business owner paid me to come on this program, and no different today. Rex Chandler, he didn't know me from anybody other than a recommendation from Chris Halnold, who owns Idaho Mountain Touring. He says, Brian, call Rex Chandler, and I said, all right, I'm on it. So I called Rex Chandler. Rex asked me a couple questions. I convinced him, said, yes, please come in here or I'll send the Goonies out to go get you. And he comes in and he's now available to tell his story in the program. At the end of the day, what I want people to do is to understand who Rex Chandler is. So when you drive by Chandler's or you go to dinner there, you're going to Rex Chandler's. You're not going to Chandler's. You're going to Rex Chandler's. I heard this guy's story. Well, you heard it on Idaho's Money Show, and we're going to do that now. So Rex Chandler, I think there's part of your introduction right there. You have Chandler's Restaurant in downtown Boise. You've also got Ling and Louie's over on Eagle Road, just north of the I-84 highway.
That's freeway. Portico. Mm-hmm.
That's it. Yeah. And so a couple great restaurants, and people know who Rex Chandler's is. And we're going to learn more about you. Thanks for joining me on the show.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for the opportunity to be here. Appreciate
it. Yeah. Well, the pleasure is going to be all mine, and I think our listeners are going to benefit from this, being able to hear from you. You've been in the restaurant business for some time, I hear, huh?
Yeah. I get to celebrate my 40th year in the restaurant business next March 15th.
So no kidding.
I started in Waikiki, Honolulu.
Is that where you grew up?
No, I grew up in Southern California Beach, Newport Beach area.
Okay.
And then 20 years old, I went to Hawaii and with a surfboard under arm and had been in the business all my life. My parents or my mother was in the business, and so I felt quite confident that I could work and live there. And then soon found out that it was had to work about two jobs or three jobs
to pay the Waikiki way
there. Yeah, but it came very natural to me, and I was very fortunate to be with a good group of guys that were very successful. And so 4 years later, I was 24, almost 25 years old. They gave me an opportunity to take a place that they had sold and got it back. And gee, kid, you want a chance, you know?
Manage it?
No, to own it.
Really?
Yeah.
At 25?
25.
Somebody trusted you at 25? Nobody trusted me.
Can you believe that?
No.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah.
I can hardly believe it. Yeah. But that was a great opportunity. What kind of restaurant was that?
Well, it was a fine dining restaurant.
Okay.
It was right in the middle of Waikiki behind the old International Marketplace.
And never been there.
Once been a very popular in spot.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the 70s, you don't probably remember those, but in the early 70s, we're coming out of another recession.
Yeah, wars.
And so they hadn't fared very well as of late, and so they kind of just gave me this opportunity. And I was young and foolish enough just to take it. And I remember borrowing $15,000 from my mom, and we had a friend that was a banker. It was First Hawaiian Bank loaned me $15,000 unsecured, and $30,000, we went into business, and it was it turned out to be very, very successful.
So you said you grew up in Newport Beach in California. Your mother was in the business. She was a restaurateur,
mm-hmm.
and your dad as well?
Well, you know, a coffee shop, cafe kind of thing, wasn't. But I had trained. I'd always worked in fact, I was just having this conversation the other day with a friend from the same area. I worked in the original chart house that was on the Coast Highway.
Really?
And as a busboy, and worked in the kitchens, and had kind of always been around it. So,
yeah.
But I never really thought when I was young that I would be a restaurateur. I just kind of was a fun thing to do and made good money, and surfing was our life at the time. So
is that the way that you entered the business, which is through the service end of it, not the kitchen end of it?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, pretty much to the front,
are you
front
a chef?
Of the house. Well, I don't consider myself a chef. I take the title of chef very serious.
Okay.
There are a lot of people that call themselves chefs. There are a lot of people that manage kitchens and restaurants that call themselves chef. But mm-hmm. To me, it's really a commitment. It's more of a total life immersion into the culinary world.
And, yeah.
And so I love to cook. I love to work with my chef. I know all the principles and
but by no means are you a chef.
I don't call myself a chef. No.
But from the service end of it, this is interesting because in my early years in college and so on, I was a waiter, server,
mm-hmm.
and at a fine dining establishment on the coast in California, serving Italian food, and I loved it. I've 5 years I did that. Mm-hmm. The last 2 years of it, I was managing the whole front end of the house. But on the other side of it, I was really into the service end of it. I wanted to give these people a great experience. Sure. It was more about the feel and the ambiance and their company, and not about the show that I would put on as a server, but really the respect that I could give these people for coming in and trusting me to serve them well and so on.
Exactly. It's like orchestrating a play. You know, to have some people come to your restaurant from the time they park their car to they walk in the door to
right.
the time their food to the thank yous on the way out. It's an orchestration of hospitality and culinary arts.
Right.
And so it's a balance of so many things. And then, you know, and I think that's why successful restaurateurs are, you know, you see so many chain restaurants and so forth, because the formula for success, it takes so many different aspects,
mm-hmm.
You know, the business world, the promotional, the publicity, the culinary arts, the food and the perceived value and making sure that all of your servers are spot on every evening and that the food is perfect. I mean, you're only as good as your last meal. So,
yeah.
You know, you have to get it right.
So at age 25, though, and you're trying to get it right at age 25, you got $30,000. 15,000 of it was from your mother, who luckily was a couple thousand miles away from you, I'm sure, and then a bank. So, but you're in the real deal at that age. Were you able to pull all those things that you just mentioned together?
Well, not all at one time.
I bet.
They kind of came, and you stub your toes along the way, and you figure out how to survive. I often say, you know, in Waikiki, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. You know, I mean, there is every...
Wait, I thought that was New York.
Yeah, it was, but in the restaurant, and it would work in New York as well,
okay.
because you have every shyster, every deal maker, everybody trying to get in your pocket. So it was a great training ground for me. I really learned how to survive in that environment. And you know, and I've carried the same principles all those years.
Yeah, and I think in Waikiki, I would guess that being a tourist crowd, you were all about the first impression was also could have been your last impression that you would leave these mm-hmm. folks with versus more of a clientele that you would have, say, at Chandler's in downtown Boise, right?
Well, I think what we learned very early on was that if we took care of the locals, I mean, if we were the happening spot for the locals, the rest followed.
Okay.
So we never really went after the tourists. There are other restaurants there that certainly did and still do, many of them. But
so that was your demographic. It was the locals.
Right.
And you did it.
Right. Yeah.
How long did you have that restaurant?
The first one, and it was funny. It was so wound up being so successful, and kind of by luck, we had a banquet rooms that we couldn't fill, and it was, you know, it was still tough times in business there. And so I'd been to Los Angeles and seen a couple of the clubs, and this new thing called discotheque was just coming on.
Oh, yeah. Right? I saw my dad dance that many times. I'm still embarrassed by it, but go ahead. Yeah.
Well, so I came back to Honolulu, and I took the banquet rooms and refurbished them and made them into a nice lounge atmosphere,
And, very cool.
Although at the time it was illegal in Honolulu to have a dance floor without having a live band.
And really?
It was an ordinance they had done during World War II to protect the local musicians.
Okay.
And so, you know, anyway, so a good friend of mine was an attorney, and so we put in a dance floor, and, you know, we got kind of in trouble, but we got all this great press when we turned it around. And so we had one night they came down and closed up the dance floor, and we had Channel 2 and Channel 7.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so when we had the ordinance changed to our favor, we were actually the first discotheque in the state of Hawaii.
And not only that, you had years of experience being one.
Yeah. And so from that day on, there was a line around the block to get into the lounge. So we created a VIP club. And
wow.
So most people would have to have dinner with us to be able to get into the lounge, and we just parlayed it into a great success.
What was the name of that restaurant?
It was called The Rex.
The Rex?
Yeah.
So now we have Chandler's.
Well,
so.
Yeah, in the beginning they were called, my restaurants were The Rex in Waikiki and then in Newport Beach. And
oh, much moved, more story in here.
And when I moved to Sun Valley, it changed to Chandler's. So.
Well, we're going to get the rest of the story. Rex Chandler joining me on the program. He has Chandler's, of course, in downtown Boise, but also Ling & Louie's over at Eagle Road. We're taking care of business. This is Idaho's Money Show. Stay with us.
Get up to date on what's new. Check us out online through Twitter, Facebook, or anytime on IdahoNewsRadio.com. At News Radio KINF, we want to hear what you have to say. Call now at 465-0730. And now, Brian Wiley and Jason Oswald on News Radio 99.1 FM and IdahoNewsRadio.com.
And we're back. It's Idaho's Money Show on News Radio KINF. We're taking care of business. Rex Chandler joining me here as my guest here today. I certainly appreciate this. And again, no money exchanges hands. It's not advertising for Chandler's, but it does end up becoming advertising. In fact, at the end of the day, if you drive, why do I use that term so much lately? My wife needs to start telling me that. At the end of this interview, I would hope that you would hear Chandler's repeatedly to the point where you think of Rex Chandler's restaurant, not just Chandler's. You called it The Rex's. That was in Waikiki. In
Newport Beach.
In Newport Beach.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so you were able to just go home once in a while.
Yeah, well, after finished pickup from where we left. So
yeah.
that first restaurant we had for, I think it was 5 years. And then I wound up buying the restaurant from the group that I started with, Nick's Fish Market.
Oh.
In fact, they're quite famous. They were, you know,
they're
still.
Were they on the pier?
No. But that was in Waikiki. That was the original Nick's Fish Market.
Okay.
There's one still in Maui. And he had Nicholas. Was my mentor. He was just a great guy, but he had moved to the mainland, so they were in Houston and they were in Beverly Hills and they were in they went to Philadelphia, they went to Boca Raton, and he didn't want to come back to Honolulu to manage that restaurant. So I got, and my lease had run out on the original Rex, and then he offered me an opportunity at the Nick's Fish Market, so I took it over there in 78 and owned that through
So you owned it
uh-huh.
as a Nick's Fish Market?
As a Nick's Fish Market, yeah.
Okay, and then
And then I moved back to Newport. I bought a restaurant in Newport Beach. And then I flew back and forth for several years. I did the.
Did you enjoy that?
It got old.
I bet.
Flying back and forth really got old, even though then it was, you know, the big 747s, and it was
well,
much
you were
more
a jet
luxurious
setter.
Then.
But I mean, that was the jet setter. Now,
well, that's the way it started, you
yes.
know. But then it got very old.
Yeah, I bet.
You know, so.
Kids? You have kids?
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm. How old are they?
I have a daughter who's 37.
Okay.
And then I have a son, Tyler, who is 25 now.
Well, so then you could have become the absent dad if you were having to fly back and forth. And,
right.
And that's the
that,
life of an...
That relationship didn't work very well, so the flying back and forth.
I bet.
Yeah.
Can you explain to people what a restaurateur really entails? And what's the day of a life of Rex Chandler?
Well, I mean, a restaurateur is, I use that term. Some people call entrepreneur, but, it, you know, a restaurateur is, it's about culinary life. Your life is around your restaurant. You live and breathe it.
You do.
From the time you wake up to the time you go to bed, you're entertaining and or you're developing menus or dishes. And
or you're prepping food for all that matters, you could be.
Well, but developing new menu items and always following the seasons and coming up with the newest and latest and greatest is something that's really paramount. Restaurant business is about food. More, you know, I mean, it's not a franchise. It's not something that someone else creates. It's something that you spend your waking moments thinking about and trying to make improvements on. So and it never is over. It's always something going on.
Do you have long days?
Very long days.
7 days a week?
Yeah, I mean, at this point in my career, I chisel out a little time for myself. But but you're always thinking about it. Whether it's, you know, it doesn't matter what you're doing. It's still built around your business. It's a social, living and breathing and, you know, entity.
Rex Chandler joining me here on the program. We're taking care of business. It's Idaho's Money Show. Now, you have multiple restaurants. You've got Ling and Louie's over on Eagle Road and what's the name of the complex?
Well, it's Portico.
Portico.
Yeah.
Got it.
I should explain that. Chandler's is really, that's my restaurant.
Okay.
And some good friends asked me to be involved with them in developing that corner on Portico. So it's on right on Eagle Boulevard, right next to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Okay, got it. Yep.
So they wanted that property and they wanted to develop that building. And so they asked me to be involved with it. And so so I agreed. But I'm not I'm only one of several people involved in that project.
Do you find yourself there often?
Yeah, not as much.
Okay.
And because it's not my namesake. I mean, the reason I agreed to do it is because it was not my namesake.
Okay.
And the concept had already been developed.
I see.
So actually, one of my first partners in Hawaii, when we bought Nick's Fish Market, he came up with this concept. So he was out of Scottsdale, Arizona, and Ling and Louie's was this bringing the East and West together.
Yeah, it's
so
great fusion. It's outstanding. Yeah, I thought it was great.
Yeah, it's a wonderful concept.
Yeah, really.
But the reason I agreed to do that is because I didn't want to get distracted from my focus of Chandler's and being the best steakhouse or best fine dining restaurant. So,
And that is probably a mark that you have earned. I've been to Chandler's and it was just fantastic. The service was outstanding. The everything. There was not a thing or a component that didn't just go perfectly. And I think that was from the moment we opened the door all the way. Actually, no, it was from the time that I actually called and scheduled the reservation on a busy night.
Yeah.
The way that the gal took care of us from the phone and everything was just fantastic.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier. You know, it really is like orchestrating an evening. So it's entertainment from the time you call and you drive up to the restaurant and open the door. The valet takes your keys and parks your card, greet it at the front door. You know, the 10-minute martini, the jazz in the background, the nice booths, it's all part of making that evening special for your guest.
Yes. And so it's a life of service that you have decided to choose.
It is.
And as a restaurateur you've been in it for 40 years. You haven't jaded on this yet?
I mean, well, there's been some times where you wonder what the heck you're doing here, you know.
Couldn't I
do something else? And, you know, you come back to, especially we talked, you know, there's been a couple bumps in the road. It hasn't been all glory, you know, but you learn from those mistakes. And
can we talk about some of the mistakes or the bumps in the road a little bit when we come back?
Sure.
All right. Rex Chandler joining me here on the program. We're taking care of business. It is Idaho's Money Show. You can join the discussion. You can always listen online, too. It's idahosmoneyshow.com. Pick up the archive there. We'll be right back.
When it really matters, the Treasure Valley turns to News Radio KINF, 99.1 FM. Got something to say? Join the conversation on News Radio KINF, 99.1 FM. Just dial in now, 465-0730. And now, it's time for Idaho's Money Show with Brian Wiley and Jason Oswald on News Radio 99.1 FM and IdahoNewsRadio.com.
We're back. It's Idaho's Money Show on News Radio KINF. By the way, the Fed today has said that they're going to keep the stimulus program going. They're going to hold steady. And if you listened to the program yesterday, I went against the grain of every media source out there, every analyst I could find that said that they were going to be talking about tapering today and stopping the Fed purchase program. And I said, they're not going to taper it. Well, guess what? They're not going to taper it. So isn't that funny how a little guy in Boise could get this one right? The S&P 500 is sinking today, down 12 points to 1638. The Dow Jones Industrial Average off 120 points to 15,197. I don't think they can taper it because I think, like I said, like an addict, we need the quantitative easing, and that's what they're doing. $85 billion a month, so they're going to continue to spend in the bond market. Bonds, like Jason had said yesterday, 10-year bond yields are going up, so the prices are coming down a bit, even though the $85 billion is going to continue. It's not helping with confidence. So we'll give a full update tomorrow. In the meantime, we're taking care of business. I don't want to divert from that. Rex Chandler joining me here on the program, Chandler's Restaurant in downtown Boise. You've got quite a lot of experience as a restaurateur. You said you started in Waikiki. Then you have a restaurant out in Newport. Then you take on a new restaurant in Waikiki. You're now moving all over the place. Somehow, some way, you ended up in Sun Valley.
Right.
What happened in there?
Well, I moved to Sun Valley in 93. My wife and we had a young son named Tyler. And
yeah.
And I had met my wife in one of my restaurants in Waikiki, and she was on sabbatical from Sun Valley, and I didn't know where Sun Valley was. I had a hard time really knowing where Idaho was at the time, to tell you the truth.
And we tried to hide.
But she was a ski instructor in Sun Valley and loved it. And in fact, she introduced me to skiing and Sun Valley. And first time to ever ski at 32 years old was Dollar Mountain in Sun Valley.
But she was an instructor.
Yeah, she was a very good skier. Still is a great skier. So the dream was to raise our boy in a ski resort. And Sun Valley really hit home. So we kind of semi-retired and moved to Sun Valley, opened a restaurant, and then opened a second restaurant in Sun Valley and was there for 15 years.
Did you sell the other restaurants?
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Well, leases were done, so I didn't renew, and then we sold one, and so...
Do you have any failures you can talk about? I mean, come on. It sounds like things have worked out for you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe not complete failures, but, you know, things change. Life changes. And one of the things that happens is, you know, your focus changes. Sometimes you get a little carried away with your success, and maybe you're not watching some of the details that you should with regards to business.
Yeah.
Maybe the food's good and all that. But one of the things, like in Newport Beach, was the location actually changed. There was we were down on the peninsula, and in old Newport, that's where the city hall was. I mean, that was the core of the town.
Yeah.
Well, now it's all up on the bluff that we used to call the Back Bay, you know, and we used to go shoot rabbit at, you know. Now that's where Fashion Island and, you know, in the center of Newport. So all of a sudden we were kind of like the restaurant that was – well, once you were there, it was wonderful. It was beautiful. Ocean view, looking out at Catalina, it was great. But to get there was very difficult. And so that location moved away. Well, meantime, the rent had gone up and – you know, expenses had gone up, and it just kind of choked us. So, you know, then we looked for another location, and our timing wasn't so good with that. So,
yeah.
So there was a lot of lessons to be learned there, and it took many years to kind of lick all the wounds and to figure out exactly how to, you know, do business better. Sun Valley was an excellent example. When the first 10 years there were very strong. I mean, I thought Sun Valley was going to wind up being a year-round resort or year-round town.
Mm-hmm.
And then after 9/11 happened, and there was a real estate boom, and at least from my perspective, that was great to have that real estate boom, but they basically bought out and tore down all the houses and put up all these new beautiful homes and condos.
For seasonal jet-in people.
Right. You know,
right.
And they bought the core of the town out. All of the regulars that we were able to depend upon in the Slack moved down valley or out of valley.
Yeah.
And you still go there today. It's, you know, beautiful places, but nobody's home.
Right.
So the Slacks became deeper, and pretty soon there wasn't enough uptime to take care of the off time, and so it became apparent to me. But again, talking about experience, and this time I was able to kind of read the tea leaves, so to speak, and see it coming, and I started looking for alternatives. you know, first back to Honolulu, maybe back to California. And then, you know, I'd always looked at Boise over the years, but I just thought it was not quite ready. Then I started looking again and realized that there was really, there was a need and for the right operator and the right concept. And so I started to look really closely at Boise. And also I had a lease, couple leases still in Sun Valley. And I thought, well, that'd be better. I could, you know, I can make it back and forth in a day and, and better than getting an airplane. So it became the obvious choice. And then I was very fortunate to know some people in Boise, and they guided me to this location that we got. And the other thing about learning from your mistakes was all the lease and making the right deal points and having the right financial package. And so I would say this restaurant of all my entire career is probably the best I've ever had.
Is this your crown jewel?
Yeah, it is.
It really and I can see that. There's everything about it is, in my opinion, just perfect. I mean, it really is. The food, everything is just outstanding. Yeah. And you could tell that there was a lot that went into that. That wasn't just, we're going to move into this and we're going to put this over there and this over there. This was planned.
Yeah.
Rex Chandler joining me here on the programs. We're taking care of business. It's Idaho's Money Show. You've got a lot of help. Who's Mary Beth? Because she's the one who sent me an email before the program
today. Well, Mary Beth is my fiance.
I knew there was something in there, and she made no indications on the email, but I knew it.
Yeah.
So she's your fiance.
Yeah, we're getting married September 12th.
Awesome. Congratulations. Yeah. And sounds like you're a lucky man because she's quite a gal.
Very much so. We're really in love and having a great time, and she works with me, and we just kind of, you know, it just works.
How long have you two been together?
Well, several years we've been dating, but actually I knew her from she lived in Sun Valley and moved to Boise about 5 years ahead of me.
Okay.
And her boys and my son kind of grew up together and went to the same schools. And actually we used to go water skiing with her boys all the time.
Okay.
And so we kind of knew one another, but in a different light, you know, and it wasn't until I moved to Boise that we got together.
Has she been involved with you with this Chandler's restaurant since the beginning?
No, just the last couple of years.
Okay. And so when you started up Chandler's, how long has Chandler's restaurant in downtown Boise been there?
We just celebrated our 6th anniversary, so May in 07.
Okay. And it's the base of what hotel?
Hotel 43.
Okay.
It used to be the State House Inn, so it's right there in the core of town.
And so you chose that location. How does that work anyway? I mean, that's quite a location. How do you work with Hotel 43 and say, I want your whole downstairs?
No, well, actually, the gentleman that we worked with, Rick Clark and Ken Pursley, and actually Dave Wally was, he's a great commercial real estate man in town. Everybody knows Dave. And I'd met them in Sun Valley. They had dined at my restaurants. And so they knew I was kicking tires. And so they showed me this spot. And it was actually a coffee shop at the base of the State House Inn, and it was really sad. And it had all these rooms, and so what you see today with all that opened up, looking out, that was kind of all closed up in private rooms,
it was quite a tenant improvement you did there.
Oh yeah, and so Dave asked me to meet him there for a cup of coffee, and showed up about 20 minutes late. I'd already kind of sketched out what I could see through it, and I said, boy, this place would work great. And he goes, well, funny that you should mention that. And so they were fortunate enough to buy the hotel from the owner at the time. And the deal, what they were looking for was that Kempton Hotel concept. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but they take and renovate older hotels, and they put independent restaurant operators in them. So it's not a hotel food. It's not a hotel restaurant. It's an independent, you know. So they have Wolfgang Puck at Post Trio, and it's the Post Hotel, you know. And so they've done this, and they're very, very successful throughout the country now.
Well, then it worked because I never even had that perception. I never thought this is a hotel restaurant.
Exactly.
Didn't think it was even connected, and it's not.
And it's we give them, we do room service for them.
Yeah.
So you can go to the hotel and order dinner up, and that's really good business for us as well.
Yep.
And you know, it's a great partnership. We do a lot of business from the hotel guests as well as service their guests. So,
do you ever step back and kind of think you're responsible for a lot of people. There's a lot of people that are running around Chandler's, and you have part of course, Ling and Louie's as well, but just Chandler's alone. How many people do you think are relying on Rex Chandler?
They're two different entities, but Chandler's, but they're pretty much about the same size in terms of square footage and the number of employees. The Chandlers, I think we have about 55 employees.
And there's some stories behind that, I bet.
Yeah, well, I was mentioning earlier, I said probably one of the greatest feelings I get from rewards I feel from the restaurant is watching all the people that started with us that are still with us.
And that's what I want to talk about when we come back, because there's loyalty there.
Oh, yeah.
Those people, they see something in your leadership.
We still have 70% of our employees started with us six years ago. Yeah. Kitchen, front of the house.
Oh, there's
same bartenders, bar managers. We have people that started as.
There's a philosophy in there. Let's talk about that when we come back. We got to take a break. Rex Chandler joining me here on the program. We're taking care of business. This is Idaho's Money Show.
News Radio KINF. Got something to say? Join the conversation on News Radio KINF, 99.1 FM. Just dial in now, 465-0730. And now, Brian Wiley and Jason Oswald on News Radio 99.1 FM and IdahoNewsRadio.com.
And we're back. It's Idaho's Money Show on News Radio KINF. It's Taking Care of Business. Now, whenever I have a guest over here, they usually will tell me it's a very fast hour, because it is. It's a very fast hour, and a lot of things are left unsaid by the time you finish the program. So Taking Care of Business, the purpose of this is to expose you to the local businesses that are here in the Treasure Valley so you know who we do business with. Well, you're meeting Rex Chandler, Chandler's Restaurant, downtown Boise at the base of Hotel 43. Highly encourage you to visit that place sometime. Even if you don't just go have dinner, you can go in there, have a cocktail with the person who's special to you, and you're going to be in a great environment. I think you'll end up wanting to sit down to have dinner. Now, you have an absolutely great ambiance down there, and the people are happy, and you can tell that something's going on from the owner or the management level on down. What is it that keeps that longevity? As you said, a lot of people still working there after 6 years.
Yeah, you know, it's the environment, and I think they've also learned so much, and obviously, it pays well. I mean, they're doing well. And they keep learning, and so they keep being stimulated. Like I mentioned earlier, we keep raising that bar. And now that we've gotten the principles down of good service and fine food, now it's the magic. You know, they're the glue. They're the thing. They're the person that makes that evening happen. They have to give that spark and make them feel as though they're very special. And, you know, that's an art form.
They're almost performers is what it is.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. They have to be.
And so what about your kitchen staff, the unnoticed people back there, which would include your chef? Do you have more than one chef?
Well, I do. I have a chef and we have a sous chef. But, and that's really the core of the majority of the people have been with us. Our kitchen crew is probably the best I've ever had in any of my restaurants in the 40 years. And Luis is our chef. And strangely enough, how we hooked up again. He actually worked with a competitor of mine in Newport Beach for 15 years, and I met him at a couple openings over the years, and he ran some very very big restaurants, and he had moved to Boise a year or so before we opened, and you know, he had sold his home, moved to Boise, bought a new home for cash, took a year off, and
really,
it was just kind of got burned out, and he was just starting to look for work again. And when we came here, I had my chef from Sun Valley come down. It was worked with me for a long time, but he was real fine dining, and he wasn't so certain about Boise. And anyway, we wound up bumping into Luis, and we hired him. And from that day on, he's been our guy, and he is just fabulous.
And does he decide most of the things that are on your menu?
Well, the beauty of it is we work so well together. He's got such a repertoire, so many types of restaurants and such a background that, you know, we just, like today, before I came here, we were working on some new seasonal dishes and thinking we were going to add the Hagerman's sturgeon to our prefix menu.
Wow.
And then we want to shift this and move that and, you know, and add a flank steak to London broil and do, you know, and he's done most of these things. Then we taste and fine tune. And we discussed the food cost and how it works mechanically behind the line and all. And since I have worked in the kitchen, I understand all those things. So we work together, but he is the one that pulls it together and makes it happen.
You mentioned food costs. When you go through and you design a menu, is that a mistake a lot of restaurateurs make, is that they don't fully evaluate their costs and set prices accordingly and make sure that, because restaurants fail commonly. I think it is the highest failing business for banks to loan out to. as far as new restaurateurs, which is why they don't do it anymore.
Right.
Are they making those mistakes? Oh, we're already out of time.
Are we really?
Gosh.
Wow. Well, real quickly, I would say that maybe not so much more setting the price point as it is managing their cost. I'd say that's the biggest problem.
I would encourage you to go to chandlersboise.com. Check out their website, but really go down to the restaurant at the base of Hotel 43. Thank you so much, Rex, for
pleasure.
Coming in.
Yeah, oh, thanks for the opportunity.
It's all mine. It's appreciate it. We've been taking care of business. This is Idaho's Money Show. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
All right.
Idaho's Money Show is hosted by Brian Wiley, a financial advisor with Cascade Financial Management, and Jason Oswald of Legacy Lending Group, along with other professionals from firms such as the Law Office of Stephen Roush, Medical Plans of Idaho, Clifton Larson Allen CPAs, and other quality professionals from the Treasure Valley. Cascade Financial Management does not hold affiliations with any of the firms participating on this program. If you'd like more information about News Radio KINF's money experts at Cascade Financial Management, call 888-1244 or go online to idahosmoneyshow.com. Cascade Financial Management is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Brian Wiley is a wealth advisor with Cascade Financial Management. Brian does not hold himself out as providing any financial, legal, or other advice. Information presented may not be suitable for you. Consult a registered investment advisor when evaluating any particular investment, security, or investment strategy. Jason Oswald is a certified mortgage planner with Legacy Lending Group. License number MLO8372. Legacy Lending Group is a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Group, MMLS. Number 81395. Branch number MLS 293386. This program is brought to you by quality sponsors such as Legacy Lending Group, the Law Office of Stephen Roush, Medical Plans of Idaho, Clifton Larson Allen CPAs, and Cascade Financial Management.